Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents What Were You Thinking, Paige Taylor? By Amanda Ashby. Narrated by Vanessa Daniels. Chapter 1. It's never too late to say no to the things that don't serve you. Apart from chocolate, chocolate serves us all. Just say no. Paige Taylor had a theory. If you were going to start your life over, you should do it in style, which was why she'd planned to arrive in St. Clair wearing her favorite jeans and a pair of cute brown boots to show that while she was New York born and bred, she was ready to fit in. Her eyebrows would be perfect, birds would be singing, and this lovely new chapter of her life would welcome her with open arms. Nowhere was there any mention of her wearing a skin-tight outfit and the towering heels she'd bought in one of those 90% off sales that made a woman temporarily lose all reason. She blamed the Packers, the moving men, not the football team. At least she thought they were a team. They'd taken her carefully prepared, "I'm driving almost 3,000 miles across the country to start my own business" wardrobe, and left her with the "I once lived in New York and will never, ever wear these clothes again" collection, earmarked for the thrift shop. Still, right now her outfit was the least of her problems. "Please, just give me a little bit of a signal. Just one more bar," she coaxed and waved her phone in the air. The gas station she'd pulled into was closed, and there was no sign of a payphone. Do they even exist anymore? She could just wait until she reached her new home. But it had already taken her bank manager 3 days to return her call regarding the line of credit she'd requested to help pay for her new life. She balanced herself on the bonnet of her old Toyota, and the signal increased by a fraction. An improvement. Now she just needed to get somewhere higher to return the call. There were no steps or benches she could climb on, and the only other vehicle in the place was a black pickup truck. It wasn't quite Mount Everest, but it might do. She peered around. There was no sign of the owner. She hurried over, praying her East Coast bank manager hadn't decided to go home early. The uncomfortable shoes rubbed against her heels as she reached the truck. The back was almost as high as her chest, with only a trailer hitch to help her up. See? If she had been wearing her jeans and boots, climbing would have been easy. Okay, easy-ish. Definitely better than the tubular black skirt she'd bought at Patrick's request last year. No. Rule number one of her new life, no thinking about her ex-fiancé. She pushed him from her mind and awkwardly clambered up in a penguin-like fashion. She was rewarded by 3 flickering bars of signal. Gold dust. Thank you, thank you, thank you. She hit the number with her finger, the ragged, chipped manicure a victim of her cross-country trip. "First Square Bank, this is," her bank manager answered before the call once again dropped. No. She held the phone even farther up in the air, but the no signal bars just flickered back at her, all red and taunting. She reluctantly lowered herself into a sitting position at the edge of the truck and discovered her next problem. Getting back down. No way she could jump in the shoes. She flexed her ankle to try and ease them off. It didn't work. Of course not, because it was becoming more obvious by the moment that Satan himself had designed the damn things. She leaned forward to tug the first one off. Almost there. Just one more. Problem? A voice said just as her foot finally released the shoe and sent it flying over to the owner of the voice. He easily caught the purple suede monstrosity before it could hit him in the head. A flash of impatience threaded across his mouth. He was in his late 30s, with dark hair starting to pepper and silvery gray eyes. His face was tanned, and beneath the plaid work shirt and plain jeans, his body was firm and strong, like it had been carved from the Oregon hills that flanked the deserted gas station. Oh, and there was no wedding ring. Wait, that was old Paige talking. New Paige wasn't interested in men of any description, single or not. He coughed, and the frown deepened. It didn't take a rocket scientist to guess he was the owner of the truck. "Hi," she plastered on a bright smile, while at the same time hoping he wasn't a crazy person. He didn't look crazy. A bit pissed, maybe. Then again, she was sitting in the back of his truck. He had every right to be mad. "You're probably wondering what I'm doing. You see, I was in the middle of an important phone call when it dropped out. The gray eyes darkened, as if to suggest her excuse wouldn't stand up in a court of law. She gulped. I should probably stop talking now.
We're in a gully. There's never much signal, he finally answered. You should hit some in 5 miles.
Good to know. She licked her lips and decided to risk lowering herself to the ground while still wearing one shoe. She wriggled her bottom forward and tucked her phone into the front of her skirt before gripping the deck of the truck with both hands. The pitted steel was cool against her palms as she eased her way down, while wishing she hadn't skipped so many yoga classes. The only thing that would have made it worse was if he'd offered to help. He didn't, and while she was grateful, trying to finish the task while her core muscles were screaming wasn't fun. Sweat beaded the top of her lip, and her arm shook as her heeled foot hit the ground, closely followed by her other leg, which was a good 3 inches lower. She steadied herself by pretending her bare foot was also in a shoe, all under the guy's disarming gaze. If undignified dismounts were an Olympic category, I'd be a gold medal winner. I should get going, she plastered on another smile.
You might need this.
He held up the shoe. His hands were tanned and the nails neatly clipped, and they seemed to mock the frivolous stiletto, making it look out of place and useless. Definitely not how day one was meant to go. Thanks. She reluctantly slipped it back onto her foot. At least the world was no longer lopsided. And sorry about standing on your truck. Forget it. He shrugged, as if already deleting the encounter from his mind. She swallowed and walked back to her own car, heat rising in her cheeks, as the black truck pulled out of the gas station and headed in the direction she'd just come from. At least I won't ever see him again. She slid into the driver's seat and thrust her keys into the ignition, humiliation humming in her veins. For goodness sake, she was a 36-year-old woman, and most of the time, a perfectly sensible person. Yet here she was, making a fool of herself in front of the most beautiful man she'd seen in a good long while. Correction. Humiliating herself while wearing a bad outfit was a good thing. Great, even. Because as her favorite author, Dr. Penny Groves, was fond of saying, if you want to change your story, then stop auditioning the same cast members. And Gas Station Guy was definitely a cast member she'd auditioned before. She had no proof he was a two-timing cheater who was sleeping with other women the entire time they were engaged. But those kind of knee-knocking good looks never seemed to go to the nice guys who liked hand-holding and long walks on the beach. Not that it mattered. She turned to the passenger seat. It was covered with the evidence of her cross-country trip. Multiple packets of M&Ms, sunscreen, empty water bottles, the cute vision board she'd made to inspire her on the trip, along with her well-thumbed copy of Just Say No, A Journey from Servitude to Freedom, by Dr. Penny Groves, the book responsible for her new philosophy on life. Put quite simply, whenever she wanted to say yes, she'd just say no instead. No to her landlord who kept putting up the rent without fixing the heating. No to her ex-boss who sat in her corner office while Paige tried to get publicity for a tween YouTube star whose latest book was about posing with a blow-up unicorn in front of public monuments. She didn't get it either. And definitely, definitely no to men. From now on, she was a no machine. The old Paige was gone, dead, buried under a mountain of yeses. She kicked her shoes off, pumped the gas, and pulled out. As promised, the reception improved farther down the road, but her call went straight to voicemail. She left her bank manager a long message, hoping it didn't sound too much like she was begging. The last miles flew past in a blur of colors until she reached a winding road with tall, thin poplars flanking either side, allowing dappled sunlight to filter onto the road, while the smudgy blue sky was host to fat, lazy clouds. The road widened, and she caught her breath as her new hometown swung into view. St. Clair, Oregon. Population 2020. Make that 2021. The town was as picturesque in real life as it had been on the internet, with colorful wooden houses dotting the landscape like a child's painting. To the left was a small inlet with a couple of boats bobbing merrily against the tide and a few rustic boat sheds,
haphazardly perched in the water on long wooden stumps. The heavy fall colors that had marked her cross-country trip were still evident, but the oranges and browns were tangled up with late-blooming summer flowers. She slowed down as a tractor pulled out in front of her, not minding it was only driving 5 miles an hour, as it allowed her to drink in the glory of the place. But it wasn't until it abruptly turned up a driveway that she found herself in front of three old Victorian houses. They were squished side by side, as if trying to stay warm. It was the one at the end she was interested in, a bookstore called Fireside Books, the bookstore she now officially owned. And, despite having stopped far too many times to deal with her sister-in-law's increasingly snarky phone calls, she'd managed to arrive a day earlier than planned. She climbed out of the car. The air was salt-laden with a hint of late jasmine from the vine, lazily creeping up the framework around the front window. The building was pale peppermint, slightly faded but still endearing, and the sign swung in the faint breeze. It was so dang cute she was surprised gingerbread men with candy canes weren't plastered to the walls. The other two businesses were equally adorable. One was a coffee shop, painted blue with a bold modern sign, while the florist store in the middle was a soft yellow. The large window was filled with fall flowers, and an old bicycle was propped against the outside porch, also crammed with a riot of blooms. It was something out of a dream. A dream I'm now part of. Her old life might have sucked, but her new one was going to be amazing. Her heels sunk down into the soft grass that flanked the pathway leading up to the old wooden door with frosted glass. She fumbled for the front door key. Diana, the previous owner, had FedExed them once the sale had been completed. A closed sign was hanging there, and under the doormat were several notes, but before she could scoop them up, she caught sight of the brass door knocker. It was in the shape of a fox's head, with wide eyes and a long nose, while one paw was held up in a welcoming gesture. Call her crazy, but the way the brass twinkled in the sunshine, it was almost a smile, like it was saying, "Welcome, Paige. Say goodbye to the past. From now on, it's going to be book-scented happiness, as you engage in long and amazing conversations about literature, while sipping coffee or wine, because this is your imagination, and I'm not here to judge. It's everything you want, Paige, and nothing will ever go wrong." "It's her. It must be her," a voice cut through the welcoming address in her mind. She swiveled as two women spilled out of the yellow florist shop next door. One was tall and lean, with a pixie cut and a resting bitch face that made Paige want to stay on her good side. She was wearing faded jeans and a plaid shirt. The second was petite, with auburn curls and dreamy blue eyes. She was dressed in a navy polka dot dress, and in her hand was an armful of flowers, white, purple, and pink, all blended together, wrapped in an old dressmaking pattern and tied with string. "Yeah, I think the key in her hand gives it away," the tall girl drawled as they walked across the lawn, their sandals making a padding noise against the grass. Up close, the hard jaw softened, and the girl gave her a reluctant smile. "Hey, I'm Sam."
"And I'm Lainey."
The petite girl thrust the flowers in Paige's direction and gave her a smile.
"We're the Bells."
"The Bells?" Paige blinked as she took the flowers. "Is that like a girl band or something?" Lainey laughed.
"I forgot you're not from here."
These buildings were once owned by three sisters and were nicknamed the Bells of St. Clair. "I'm surprised Diana didn't tell you when you bought the place."
"I'm not."
Sam snorted as she scooped up the notes peeking out from under the doormat, while Lainey made a growling noise.
"What? I'm just saying Diana wasn't known for her conversation skills."
Paige had to agree, and after her original call with the owner, she'd quickly discovered Diana was a straight-to-business type of woman, and the rest of their correspondence had been via their solicitors. Still, the price had been right, and the deal fast, which was all Paige had cared about.
"She wasn't so bad," Lainey protested, though it lacked conviction. "I know you're going to love it. We've been hoping you'd be nice, and I can already see you are."
"You can?" Paige said in surprise, recalling the inappropriate outfit.
"I promise I don't normally wear this kind of thing.
Well, I did in my old life, but now I'm here. Now you're here, you can wear whatever you want, Lainey said in a firm voice. Besides, I like what you're wearing. It shows you have spunk. Trust me, spunk's the last thing I want right now, Paige confessed as she adjusted the band of her skirt and wished she'd said no to the breakfast taco. There was a mix-up with the moving boxes, which means I've traveled across America looking like an extra from Dynasty. All power suits and earrings the size of satellite dishes. Some of the reserve fell from Sam's face, and she grinned. I'm guessing you're from New York. Paige nodded. The intoxicating aroma from the flowers in her arm flooded her senses, easing the tension in her shoulders that had built up from thinking about her old life, which, for the record, was only 600 times a day. Lainey was obviously a floral ninja. She took in another deep breath. Did you have a bookshop there? Sam asked. Not exactly. I was a book publicist, but I've always loved reading, and when I saw this place, it just seemed perfect. Not to mention 3,000 miles away from all my problems. And it will be, Lainey agreed in a cheerful voice, making Paige wonder if she was perpetually happy. I hope so. She fiddled with the key in her hand. Do you want to come inside? I'm dying to look around. Lainey's smile dropped a quarter inch as she tucked her arm into Paige's. You know, while that does sound fun, I have a better idea. Why not come over to my place and have a welcome glass of wine? It's 11 in the morning, Paige blinked. Aren't you still open for business? Yes, but how often do we get a new neighbor? Sam appeared on Paige's other arm. We can fill you in on life in St. Clair. Yes, there's so much to tell you, Lainey echoed. Paige pushed her lips together. She might not have owned a bookstore before or lived in a small town, but thanks to dating Patrick for the last 6 years, she had a PhD in shifty behavior. What's going on? Is there a reason you don't want me to go inside? What? No, that's crazy talk. Lainey shook her head, but Sam sighed and let go of Paige's arm. We might as well just tell her. She's going to find out eventually. Find out what? Her grip tightened on the flowers as her mind filtered through all of the things that could have possibly happened. It wasn't hard. Her friends in New York had been listing them with great frequency ever since she'd announced her plans. Please don't tell me that Diana didn't own the place and I've been duped. Or she's taken all the stock and only left fishing books. Or, I swear it's not so bad, Lainey said before wrinkling her nose. Hey, are you sure you don't want that wine? 100%, Paige said in a grim voice. Okay, here's the deal. 2 nights ago, there was a storm, and we both heard a crashing noise. Long story short, one of the back windows was broken. We boarded it up before there was too much damage, and Len reckons it won't cost much to replace it. Sam trailed off. Unfortunately, Lainey rushed in before Paige could comment or ask who Len was. That's when we discovered the other stuff. Other stuff? The breakfast taco churned in her stomach as repair bills flashed through her mind. Buying the bookstore had taken all of her life savings and a hefty mortgage from the bank, which meant she'd hardly left anything to fall back on, hence her request for the line of credit. She shut her eyes, searching for a backup plan. None came to mind. She couldn't ask her family for money. Her relationship with her mom had always been strained, ditto with her pompous brother. There was the small inheritance she'd received after her estranged father died last year, but she couldn't bring herself to touch it. After all, he'd made it perfectly clear she wasn't part of his new family. Spending his money seemed like she was forgiving him for years of pain and rejection. Like what? She swallowed her panic. Dr. Pennygroves always said to breathe through it. Breathing, hyperventilating, they were the same thing, right? The place needs a bit of maintenance. This is the quiet time of year. Lainey paused and twisted her mouth. And, well? Diana didn't exactly get on with the local community, which affected her cash flow. Sam reluctantly held up the notes that had been tucked under the doormat. There were 5 of them, all complaints from local residents about the bad service. I'm guessing by the look on your face, her accounts didn't reflect this. Paige scrunched up the notes and shook her head. Though to be fair, she'd been so smitten, fine, desperate. She hadn't paid close attention to the bottom line. As far as we can tell, she let things slide in order to make ends meet. That, or the local contractors wouldn't do business with her. What kind of maintenance? Her stomach dropped. I wonder what the going rate for a kidney is. Nothing major. It's more a shopping list of small things. Not to mention the mess, Lainey added in a slightly less sunny voice before sighing. We wanted to call, but no one had your number, and Diana hasn't been answering her phone. We were going to finish tidying today, but you got here early. It seemed like a good idea at the time. She gulped before frowning at the keys in her hand. Wait, how did you get in? Yeah, we were hoping you might not notice that part, Sam flushed. My 14-year-old nephew has an interesting skill set, and I'm not sure he's quite decided if he's playing on Team Good or Team Evil. He picked your lock. Though I swear it was only because we asked him to, Lainey added. Do you still want to see inside? No, yes, maybe. But there was only one answer. She'd left her old life behind, so abandoning her new one on the first day wasn't really an option. Let's do it. Paige swallowed hard and thrust the key into the lock. The air was damp and heavy as she stepped across the threshold and scanned the room. Stripped pine shelves were crammed with books, while long wooden tables ran down the middle, piled high with a colorful collection of coffee table books, stationery, and notepads. Along the back wall, a large board had been nailed from the outside to cover the smashed window. Someone, she was guessing Lainey, had cleared away the glass, though it couldn't hide the broken plaster around the window frame. While on the side wall was a magnificent fireplace that had no doubt given the store its name. That was the good news. The bad news was most of the floor area was covered by cartons of books, plastic bags overflowing with paper, and was that a half-eaten sandwich? Her eyes drifted to the counter, stacked high with old newspapers and magazines. The walls had once been painted pink, but it had been done a long time ago, and chipped paint marked nearly every surface, while a highway of spider webs claimed the ceiling. She picked her way over to the light switch and flicked it on, hoping it would be less gloomy. Nothing happened, and one look at the overhanging pendant light confirmed there was no bulb. If it's any consolation, it was a lot worse yesterday, Lainey said as the whole floor rumbled, like a jet plane about to land. A loud screech followed, sending Paige's heart into overdrive. What was that? She croaked, wondering where her nice new relaxing life was. The radiator. Sam pointed to the ancient roadmap of metal tubes attached to the far wall. Its bark's worse than its bite, and it won't stop you from running the business. Last year I had a bucket in the middle of my dining room for a week. I had no power for 5 days during my busiest period, Lainey chimed in. It comes with the territory of owning a historic building and being a belle. Paige sucked in her breath and tried to stay calm. The mess could be cleaned up. The radiator and broken window fixed. And yes, it was a slight problem. Diana seemed to have burned her bridges in the small town. But Paige was sure once they got to know her, things would be fine. She could do this. More importantly, she had to do this. I'm an unstoppable force who says no to fear, she reminded herself in a soft voice. Wait, did you just quote Dr. Penny Groves? Lainey demanded. Paige blinked. You've heard of her? Heard of her? Are you kidding me? Sam rolled back her sleeve to display a small tattoo of the book title scrolling up her arm. She completely changed my life. And mine, Lainey added before wrinkling her nose. Though I wasn't brave enough to get a tattoo. But we both love Just Say No. I can't believe you do, too. It's actually what helped me decide to buy this place, Paige admitted as the mess and repairs faded away.
Despite the book being a New York Times bestseller, none of her friends had shown the least interest in reading it, probably worried it might cause them to end up in a tiny coastal town, too. "And it's what's going to help you start your new life," Lainey said in a firm voice. "You're right." She gave Lainey and Sam a small smile. "Thanks for trying to spare me the shock. Rule number one of living here. People help people," Sam said with surprising candor, considering how scary she'd looked just 20 minutes earlier. "I know what it's like. I moved to this town 10 years ago and immediately panicked about whether I was doing the right thing," Lainey added. "And were you?" "Absolutely," Lainey said before her bright smile faded. "Well, there were tough times, but I survived, and you will too. Now, we'll leave you to settle in, but just shout if you need anything. And if you're not too tired, swing by at 5 o'clock for a glass of wine." "I'll see how it goes," she said. Once her new neighbors had left, she put her purse down on the counter and searched for cleaning supplies. After all, she'd spent most of her life trying to please other people and clean up their messes. At least this time, it was entirely for her. "Me first, from now on." With that in mind, she got to work. Chapter 2. On those days when you can't find your ass from your elbow, remember that clarity is just a no away. Just say no. Luke Carmichael rubbed his jaw. Thanks to an overzealous party down at the beach, then a frantic call about a missing cat, there hadn't been a lot of sleep last night. Not to mention the 3 stitches when the oversized Tom had taken exception to being carried down the old fig tree behind the school. Still, at least there'd been a happy reunion. As for the no sleep part, that's what coffee was invented for. He'd started the community patrol a couple of years ago when the small seaside town had been hit with a string of arson attempts during the tourist season. Nothing had burned down since, and the good folk of St. Clair had once again been able to sleep easy in their beds. "Let me guess," Patsy sashayed over and held up her coffee pot as her sharp eyes took in his bandaged hand. "Cat duty?" He nodded. "He didn't like being woken mid-nap, even when he was up a tree." "Can't say I blame him." Patsy poured a cup of her famous coffee, the bitter aroma filling the air. "Want your usual breakfast?" His stomach rumbled, but he shook his head. "I'm due on site in half an hour." He ran his uninjured hand through his hair. Yet another resident had fallen victim to the Airbnb craze. This time it was an expensive cottage conversion with 3 bathrooms. He could have told them accommodating more tourists in the small town wasn't going to fix all their problems, but he had mouths to feed. Okay, 1 mouth to feed. And so he'd kept his opinion to himself and got on with it. Besides, the job would soon be finished. "I heard Olive's on the mend. That's good, right?" Patsy said. At the mention of his grandmother, he smiled. To the outside world, the Carmichaels looked like a tight bunch, despite the fact his mom had walked out when he was 10, and his dad had died a year later. Technical reason was pneumonia, but they all knew it was a broken heart. Yet Olive had woven together a new life for him, Jacob, and Trina, making them think she was indestructible. The flu, which had really slowed her down, had given them all a scare. Yeah, yesterday she was testing vodka punch recipes for her 80th birthday, not to mention conning me into installing a hot tub. Should I be worried? He slugged back the rest of his coffee as his lethargy faded. He fumbled for some notes to pay. Not if you know what's good for you. Patsy shook her head to wave away the money. She wouldn't thank you for it. Ain't that the truth? Patsy gave him a nod, then lifted up a curious eyebrow. Have you met her yet? His jaw flickered. Ever since Diana had announced she'd sold the bookstore to someone from New York, the town had been speculating about the new owner. But Luke hadn't given it much thought. It'd just be another city fool with more money than sense. Stood to reason. Who bought a business this time of year? Except now he knew. Paige Taylor, the woman who'd been randomly standing on his truck, wearing a pair of purple heels that showed off her endless legs while trying to make a phone call. Glossy blonde curls had tumbled down her shoulders, and the faint scent of vanilla had surrounded her. Not exactly what he'd expected to find.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?